Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we break down the meme heard around the world, Senator Kamala Harris's attack towards Turning Point USA, a bold prediction about who's going to get hot in the 2020 Democrat race, and finally, where's Hunter? Hunter's making an appearance sometime soon. We'll break that down. Before we get started, press subscribe, get your friend to do the same, leave a five-star review here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We are fueled by all the support of our listeners. So right now, please go give us a subscription, go down, leave us a review and a five-star rating. Buckle up. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. There is a lot going on today, and it just seems like my journeys recently and Turning Point USA is right in the middle of a lot of it. Not necessarily bad, but just that where I have been visiting and where I've been speaking, it seems that the days following, there's a lot of national news that has been happening. So we're going to be talking about all of that, especially the meme wars. It seems the meme wars have taken a national turn in a way that I would not have possibly imagined. We're also going to touch on Hunter Biden. Why would you have to resign from a company if you didn't do anything wrong? And of course, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to get into this whole fake news story about how President Trump somehow was adjacent to a video that showed a massacre of journalists. And we're going to talk about the truth about all this. It's front page of Drudge Report right now. As we're recording the show, it was the front page of Drudge Report. And of course, we are joined by Mr. Producer.
Hello,
one
hello,
day
hello.
We will say his name, but to protect his identity so he doesn't get picketed and plundered and followed, we just call him Mr. Producer. So, but first, boy, what a great weekend of football. I'm not going to brag, but I think I got most of my picks right this last weekend. I only got a couple wrong, actually.
Some upsets. There were some upsets.
I called the 49ers beating the Los Angeles Rams. Did I not say the LA Rams are going to have a flat season? Do you remember me saying
you
that?
You did. You actually said that. You
so
said,
we don't need to pull sound. I can
affirm, and people save our producers' nuts. Work
I'm
on the bag.
We're going to save some work. But I did say that the LA Rams were going to have a flat season. And so, of course, our friends, if you want to place bets, you want to get involved at betonline.ag, it's the place to do it. And we saw some great wins. The Ducks of Oregon won 45-3 against Colorado. They're now number 12 in the country. That steady march. They are my dark horse to get into the college football playoff because they're going to win the Pac-12. But there's so many great teams out there. Minnesota's undefeated. It's unbelievable. Oklahoma looks nearly unstoppable. Jalen Hurts, University of Alabama. Clemson is just kind of okay right now. They're not playing great football. LSU looks nearly unbeatable. University of Florida is great. They had the hardest kind of couple weeks to play. But if you want to get on the action, you go to betonline.ag and use that promo code podcast1. So here are some big matchups. I'm going to give you five predictions on the NFL and then five predictions in college football. You have Oakland at Green Bay. I like Green Bay. Minnesota at Detroit. I like Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is playing really well. New Orleans at Chicago. Is Trubisky going to be back? I think he's hurt still.
I think he's hurt.
And Drew Brees is hurt, so I still like Chicago. Go Bears. Baltimore at Seattle. I like Seattle. Philadelphia at Dallas. Boy, Dallas is a floundering team right now. They're not doing well.
Literally, ESPN's going, is Dallas done? Who needs to trade? There we go.
Yeah, they're not doing well. So I like Philadelphia. College football, we got Michigan at Penn State. I like Penn State. Arizona State at Utah. I like Utah. Oregon at Washington. Go Ducks. I got Oregon. LSU at Mississippi State. LSU in Texas. A&M at Ole Miss. Not really the most relevant game, but I like Texas A&M. Gig'em, howdy. What else do they say over there? They say gig'em, howdy, and go A&M.
Hook'em horns?
No, my goodness. We're going to get comments about Mr. Producer's illiteracy about the difference between A&M and UT. Anyway,
that was a joke. So
visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so for those of you that might not be totally into this story or understanding where it's come from, this was totally trending on Twitter all day, and it just so happens that I spoke at the conference where this is the center of controversy. So there was a horrific meme video where Donald Trump massacres fake news media. Now, essentially, there's these videos that go around, and there's this community of people that love the president so much. They'll take popular videos, and they'll superimpose the face of Donald Trump onto somebody kickboxing or somebody with a lightsaber fighting people they disagree with. So,
I guess the most famous one was the CNN.
Yeah, which was precisely, which was the body slam one, the WWE one, because the president shared that one. And so this particular video was from the movie's Kingsman, which is about the British Secret Service or something.
Starring Colin Firth.
I've actually,
2014.
I've never enjoyed those movies. I thought
it's
they were so.
It's called a dark comedy. And I think it's only for some people. Only some people.
Very cheesy. I never liked that movie.
Right. Somehow killing people is funny. But no, there is a whole genre. It appeals to a certain demographic.
I never liked it.
Nor I. It's not my cup of tea.
I've tried to watch it a couple times. It's just not really my genre. So anyway, this memer. So those that don't know what a meme is, do we have to define what a meme is? Because we do have some people that, okay. So a meme is, what is the best way to define a meme? It's kind of like when you know
where's
it.
Benny Johnson it? When you need him?
Benny Johnson, Chief Creative Officer at Turning Point USA. So look, a meme is a picture or a video that satirizes or explains an issue in a short soundbite that usually uses comedy or uses wit. I guess that's a good way to put it. That
it turns it on its head, it flips it.
Sure,
it's ironic. It's insightful.
It's almost, here's the best way I can describe it. It's the internet's equivalent of political cartoons. Is that a good way to put it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it's like a modern digital form.
So I know we have some people listening that might not know what a meme is. So anyway, this particular meme showed Donald Trump in a church mass. Essentially, this scene in Kingsman, which I don't understand how this scene was really funny or insightful or enjoyable to watch, but allegedly there was a scene where somebody walks into a church and kills a bunch of people. That was the scene. It was a church massacre. And they superimposed Donald Trump's face to be the guy that's killing everyone, and then he's killing the fake news media, CNN, MSNBC.
As whatever. Well as Democrats like Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, okay. Hillary
so let's
Clinton,
just
and Maxine
be, let's just, we totally denounce this video unequivocally and totally. I don't think it's funny to show violence against other people.
I think it's
not my taste. I don't think it's funny. Now, there's plenty of people that find that kind of dark humor interesting. I'm not one of those people. However, let's just get through some facts. They say that this was shown at the president's Miami resort. So all of the media covering this is insinuating as if the president approved this or this was at his resort. He didn't at all, okay? So I was at this event. It was a unique event. It was one with a lot of energy and a lot of people that were really excited to be there. And Donald Trump Jr., Sarah Sanders, Governor Ron DeSantis, Corey Lewandowski all spoke at that event. And
but I do think it's interesting. I think it's fair to say it was a unique blend of people.
Sure. And again, I was thankful to be invited. You know, so this video was shown in a side room, in a breakout room against a wall in a very kind of makeshift capacity. And Don Jr., Ron DeSantis, Sarah Sanders, myself, and Corey Lewandowski knew nothing of it. We didn't know about this until the news actually broke. And now we're being lumped into this. I might have spent 40 minutes at this event. Basically, the entire time I was at the event was when I was speaking. I was in and out, and I did Laura Ingraham that night, and then I flew to Detroit super early the next morning. I didn't hang around. It was not, but they're acting as if we were behind this entire thing.
So yeah, the headlines are all sort of inferring. It's like Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Don Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk. And this video, this horrific video, it's like you endorsed it or something.
It's as if we were on the committee before it was screening. Yes, I love that thing.
Yep, and so we approve.
And so it's not even, look, I get frustrated by guilt by association. I get frustrated by that. Oh, because you were in the same room, but you didn't know that. And this is worse. This is like guilt by zip code. It's like something bad happens in the same zip code that you're standing in. You must be blamed for that. And of course, the president is getting blamed for it because it happened at his resort. He can't be blamed for everything that happens at his resort. He's a business guy. Obviously, he's president, but his business team tries to recruit as much business as possible and bring it into his ranks. And so, but if only the left, it's not like they've ever called for violence. It's not like their mainstream characters have ever gotten engaged in it. Remember Kathy Griffin, who had a decapitated picture of the president's head. Kathy Griffin, who used to be a comedian, and she's still considered a mainstream comedian in a lot of circles. She did lose her CNN contributorship.
Thankfully, there was. I mean, there was. That's the only thing unique
backlash.
About that story. Is
the only thing unique is she was actually held accountable. Do you remember the Snoop Dogg story, Mr. Producer? Tell us the Snoop Dogg story.
Well, Snoop Dogg featured a video. It's a music video called Lavender. He basically shoots, pops a cap into the president of the United States. And to this day, I think kind of skated away scot-free on that one. Zero real blowback on that. And by the way, I think what's interesting about this, and we during show prep, we were looking at the different headlines, comparing these instances to this Florida instance, this meme instance. And this is the New York Times headline of the Snoop Dogg. Donald Trump condemns Snoop Dogg on Twitter for satirical video. So notice this sleight of hand by the New York Times, which I think is very interesting. They make it about Donald Trump, that he condemns a pop culture figure, right? And they've got Donald Trump dressed up as a clown, hands up, and Snoop Dogg is literally pointing a weapon at his head and is about to shoot him. But they call it a satirical video. Notice the difference of language between that video and that of this meme in Florida. It says horrific video where Donald Trump massacres fake news media, right? Doesn't make any distinction that Donald Trump didn't actually have anything to do with this video. Doesn't make any distinction about the fact that this was not endorsed by the event organizers. They're trying to paint Donald Trump in a bad light, even though he had nothing to do with this. Meanwhile, they make a video where Snoop Dogg had everything to do with it. They completely bypass him as having any fault in the matter. And this is the left. This is the mainstream news media of our day.
And they say it was satirized. They gave him
parody.
Then they say Donald Trump attacked him for trying to put forth satire. The double standard is extraordinary. Remember Madonna? Remember when Madonna said, actually, let's play tape. Let's play tape of Madonna. This was right near the inauguration, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
So, obviously, the violent left was perfectly okay with that. Do you remember what Eric Holder said? He said he was kind of parroting what Michelle Obama said, where she said, oh, when they go low, we go high. He said, no, when they go low, we kick them. Play sound.
It is time for us as Democrats to be as tough as they are, to be as dedicated as they are, to be as committed as they are. Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, she and my wife are like really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick them.
And of course, Maxine Waters, who famously said, get in their face, whether they're at gas stations or public places, play sound, Maxine Waters.
Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
Well, and I think on this last one specifically, it's important to remember that, while the mainstream news media points all of their ire and attention, and remember, this is selective bias. This is selective bias, meaning what they choose to report on, how loudly they choose to report on it, is important. Because guess what? What Maxine Waters did actually happened. Republicans have been harassed in the streets, in the places where they eat, in the places where they meet, at their homes.
Well, not to mention, I've gotten stormed out of restaurants by Antifa.
Yeah.
Everywhere speak at these events.
So they're able to say these things with impunity. The news media does not hold them accountable. They don't harass them. They don't harangue them. But guess what? Republicans are actually having an impact. Tucker Carlson had similar things happen. Mitch McConnell, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I mean, the list goes on. Ted Cruz got stormed out of a restaurant with his wife. I mean, the followers of these politicians on the left, they actually are doing these things. Not to mention that Representative Steve Scalise got shot while practicing baseball for the house baseball game, the annual baseball game. So these things happen. They operate with impunity, and yet it's the right that gets all of this attention and focus when one random memer plays one random video. And by the way, we don't endorse this video, nor does the president, nor does the campaign, nor does anybody. Right. But yet this is the headlines. And, you know, Charlie and I are getting approached by members of the media asking for comment, you know, quite a bit. And so this is the double standard that we live with.
As if I had some awareness that this actually happened.
Yeah, Charlie didn't even know about it until it was on Twitter this morning.
It's really extraordinary. And so, but look, there's real consequences to the incitement from the left. There's real consequences and real things that happen. And I, for one, am getting exhausted with having to apologize or push back with something that I had nothing to do with, something that I totally and completely and unequivocally condemn. And in fact, our next topic that we're going to talk about speaks about just that. We are going to talk about a person running for the President of the United States that openly attacked Turning Point USA. We're going to talk about a place that I've been in the last 7 days where that actually was in the news cycle. And we are going to talk about how this all ties together into the culture war that we are in right now and how it even ties into President Trump's reelection. Speaking of President Trump, every day President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for his impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. So right now, take out your phone. This is free of charge. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 88022. So easy. And receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll even be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text Charlie to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to what? Make America great again. So you need to get the news directly from the source. So right now, pick up your phone, text Charlie to 88022, 88022. Be sure to text Charlie to 88022. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. So last week, I spoke at the University of Nevada, Reno. We had a great time. Actually, we had over 800 people attend. We had to open up the extra room for the amount of interest that we had. Lots of enthusiasm, lots of protests. You know, people have the right to be wrong in America. I love to go on college campuses. This is an event that was hosted and planned by our Turning Point USA chapter at University of Nevada, Reno. And for those of you that might want to be interested in getting involved with Turning Point USA, you go to tpusa.com. We greatly appreciate that. And so, look, kind of surrounding our visit was an intentional propaganda campaign put forth by the university and by their radical social justice affiliates to try to make Charlie Kirk, myself, and Turning Point USA seem something that we're not. Now, their big focus was to try to eradicate hatred or try to quell hatred and white supremacy from their campus. I fundamentally agree with this. I think that's a righteous cause. I think it's something that people should focus their time on. However, whenever I try to step up and agree with them and try to say, I think that this should be clamped down on and this should be stamped out, I was met with opposition, protests, skepticism, and even anger. So in fact, I want a first play sound of this exchange that I had with a woman who was so puzzled by why hatred, hateful people might want to try to get within Turning Point USA. And Mr. Producer said it the best. So she said, essentially in this exchange, she said, well, why is it that some hateful people want to be part of your organization? That was her question. Even admitting that we don't currently have any hateful people within the organization. But the best analogy that I've heard through Andrew is a virus is looking for a healthy host. So Turning Point USA is a healthy host. This is a virus that should be condemned. And I think have a very interesting exchange with her where I talk to her about, I repudiate it, I reject it, and I condemn it at every single turn. Why are you continually trying to make me seem something that I am not?
Would a white supremacist organization host a black leadership summit?
Yes. You can be...
Would a white supremacist organization have a black female communications director for over
a year?
Yes,
there are ideological shields. Yes, there are ideological shields that further your talking points and who are every much as committed to bigotry and white supremacy.
Would a white supremacist organization host the nation's largest young Latino leadership summit for five years straight?
Yes.
Can you name one instance when we have ever tolerated hatred once?
When you have ever tolerated hatred?
Yes.
Well, you claim that your organization is not white nationalist and not white supremacist, so why did Identity Europa think that your organization was prime breeding grounds for their views?
Because they're idiots.
Because they're idiots. So wait. No, I wanna have an honest discussion with you, right? Because I do agree that you should look in the mirror first before asking people to solve your problems. Just tell me honestly, what do you think it is about your organization, without you being a white supremacist, without you being a white nationalist?
So you don't think I'm a white supremacist? Let's just get this straight.
No.
Okay, good.
I think you enable it.
Oh, I enable?
Yes.
Despite every time I encounter anyone around that ideology, I repudiate it and I reject it.
I'm asking you
what
why
else
you
would
feel,
you want me to do?
I'm asking you why you feel that what it is you think about your organization that might attract white supremacists and white nationalists, because you've repudiated a lot of members who were later revealed to have white nationalist ties.
It's not a lot of members. You're talking about four people in a membership organization with hundreds of thousands of students over 7.5 year history. You're looking at four isolated examples that the dishonest press decides to look at, despite the unbelievable body of work that Turning Point USA rejects anyone that has hatred. Turning Point USA has diverse leadership summits, such as a black leadership summit, and you kind of lost me after that one, by the way, that you could host a black leadership summit and also be white supremacist.
So, Mr. Producer?
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the analogy we were using about a virus is looking for a healthy host. Well, the medicine to the virus of white supremacy and racism and bigotry is to confront it head on, denounce it, and then purge it whenever you can. And this goes for the left or the right and the left. And I think that's the thing that gets missed in this, right? So the left is constantly going to their grab bag of racist tropes and name calling. And, you know, meanwhile, they're not doing anything to confront the demons in their own side, or at least they're not doing enough, right? And there needs to be more good people on the left calling out the demons of anti-Semitism, for example.
That's correct.
Right, so you've got the House with Ilhan Omar, Representative Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, openly calling for BDS, which is a blatantly anti-Semitic policy stance. The fact that we're even negotiating or discussing this in a chamber of Congress is disgusting to me, and it's disgusting to many people listening to this. And yet they do not call it by name as anti-Semitic, and that is. As depressing and as it should get you as upset as anything having to do with white supremacy.
So Senator Kamala Harris, who's the failed U.S. senator and soon to be failed presidential candidate from California, signed a petition that has been circulating among students and staff at University of Nevada, Reno, which smears our organization, Turning Point USA. Boy, that's how you know you're making it, right? When people running for the presidency want to smear your organization.
And they want to prop up their failing campaign to do so.
Right. So here's what she said. She said, quote, "We are deeply alarmed by your administration's inadequate response to the presence and impacts of Turning Point USA, TPUSA on our campus," read a petition addressed to UNR President Mark Johnson, claiming that the university president has failed to, quote, "fully support students who organize anti-racist speech, protests, and action." So Senator Harris signs this petition. Now, mind you, she spoke at University of Nevada, Reno 2 weeks before that we did our event at University of Nevada, Reno. And guess what? I can understand why she's a little upset, because our event was nearly double the size of her event. So she's running for the presidency, and she can't even draw the amount of students that Turning Point USA is able to draw of one of our culture war tour stops at University of Nevada, Reno. So she signs this petition, and the petition goes on to accuse the university of, quote, "the lack of commitment to systemic transformation of the racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, and homophobic atmosphere on campus," end quote. She doesn't know anything about this campus. She's just pandering to the University of Nevada, Reno, because she's falling behind in an early primary state, Nevada, that she needs to try to become the Democrat nominee.
No, this is so good. This is the definition of pandering. This is pandering. This is Beto-level pandering.
Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Hispanic Irishman from El Paso-level pandering.
This is deep. This is deep.
And so, not to mention, she signs this petition. It fails. I don't think she knows this. I am going to say this. I don't think she knows this. But I will say, there was a student that got arrested for targeting Turning Point USA on campus, for flipping our table. Did you know that there was an arrest of a student? Edsel Bester, who was apprehended by police and taken to Washoe County Jail after targeting Turning Point USA members on campus. In fact, Mr. Producer, I didn't even mention this in my speech when I was at Reno. I probably should have.
You didn't. No, and I was there, by the way.
I forgot to mention.
Yeah, I mean, this video, and Charlie, is it on your Instagram?
Yeah, it's on my Instagram. Yeah. It's on my Twitter.
This student comes up, says something
flips
about...
Flips our table.
Yeah, says something about... He blames, you know, the organization, the people, the students tabling in the square there for him being in prison. And they're like, excuse us, what? And then flips the table and runs off. I mean, it was the definition, the image of cowardice in the flesh. The kid runs off. And I mean, they keep videotaping him. And I mean, he runs for yards and yards and yards as long as the video runs. And then this student ends up getting arrested.
And look, so a lot of people that we've talked to, some people, I should say, in the legal community say this is a slanderous statement that Senator Harris has signed herself onto. So we might be looking at some potential legal options. Let's just leave it at that. And so, but they're trying to say that Turning Point USA is a hateful group. And I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to say this unequivocally, but our spokesperson right now at Turning Point USA is Rob Smith. Rob Smith is a veteran in the United States military. He also happens to be gay, and he also happens to be a black person. So I don't know how she could say we're homophobic or anti-black
or
racist.
Before that, there was Candace Owens, and you know, there's a black leadership summit, there's a Latino leadership summit. I mean,
young women's leadership summit, of all the conservative Jewish leadership summit. But I mean, it was a great. So I was on Breitbart Radio last night, and Matt Boyle made a great point, and he said, Charlie, you're probably the worst organization to accuse you of this, of the entire conservative movement. Well, I mean, it's foolish. It's silly.
And I can just, you know, as a colleague and friend, I mean, I can tell you that this is not only personally deeply upsetting when they do this. It's just unfair. It's wrong.
But
and it's reckless.
Let me tell you what's wrong about all this, though. When they attack people like me and Turning Point USA with these sort of accusations, it
unfounded.
Cheapens real racism
right.
is what it does. And there is real hatred and there is real racism. In fact, I want to show you evidence. I want you guys to listen to some real evidence of when I have condemned white nationalism when it comes across my own tour. When I come across white nationalism, when I come across ethno-nationalism, which is the idea that one race is preferential, one race is more qualified, which is a evil ideology, and I use that word specifically. I do believe there is something immoral, and I believe that is something irrational and illogical about believing in racial supremacy by any race whatsoever. When I encounter it, I reject it, and I kick it out of my ranks. Something the left does not always do. This was at Colorado University Boulder a little over a year ago, but I have a track record now of rejecting and expelling this sort of hateful ideology when it does come in contact with my speaking engagements and my tour.
2016 Olympics, Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, the women's gymnastics team. The four members of the U.S. gymnastics team couldn't be ethnically different, more ethnically different. A black woman, a Hispanic woman, a Jewish woman, and a white woman. Every single one of those women we consider to be Americans and victors. You know what the Chinese gymnastics team looked like? They all looked the same. You know what the Japanese gymnastics team looked like? They all looked the same. You know what the Korean gymnastics team looked like? They all looked the same. We are great because despite the melanin in your skin or where you come from, you come here, you believe in a core set of ideas, you are an American.
Can I give a quick example? All the best Winter Olympics, all the best Winter Olympics competitors, we're all European now. All the best Olympic competitors were all from Europe.
What?
All the top Olympic competitors were all from Europe. The winners and the gold
medalists.
Jesse
Owens was not from Europe.
Either Europe or European stock.
What?
Wait, well, you are verging on white nationalism, should, my friend. I want nothing to do with ethno-nationalism or anything like that.
We don't represent that.
I condemn, I disavow
completely. Would it be better
completely.
If I said heritage?
And that is,
I mean,
not true. Hold on a second. You don't understand what you just said, how ridiculous that is. Usain Bolt has European stock.
My bad, not all of them. A majority.
No, you said that.
A majority. You're right.
No, you're wrong. I mean, you couldn't be more wrong. How about the U.S. men's basketball team? How many
said
white
winter,
people were
not
on
basketball.
That team?
I didn't say basketball. I said Winter Olympics.
You said Olympic.
I said Winter Olympics.
Well, I just want to make
I think we can all agree we disavow. Do we not disavow?
Right, this is, we don't support this. We don't support that.
So there you heard it right there. That was a stop that I had at Colorado University Boulder. But here's the lesson of this entire thing. The left does not want conservatives to reject racism. They want us to become leftists because they believe that it is impossible for conservatives to be anti-racist and also be conservatives. They believe that being anti-racist, the only way you can be against racism, that you can be against hatred, is to become a leftist. So no matter how often I say on the record that I condemn this ideology. In fact, the beginning remarks of my speech at University of Nevada, Reno, I went out of my way to even say that.
And let me just say, I was there. This is how bizarre it is. This is how absurd it's become. Charlie responding to the protesters because he knew it was the elephant in the room. He wanted to get it out of the way. He wanted to address
it. Conversation.
Yeah, so he was talking and he said, you know, listen, hey, I condemn this. I believe in e pluribus unum. I'm a Christian.
Which means out of many one. Yeah, it's a Latin phrase.
Exactly. I'm a Christian. I believe that God has made us all equal, blah, blah, blah. Goes through with the whole diatribe. As soon as he says this, a group of protesters, about four or five of them, stand up with a pre-made, some sort of sign that they...
Workers' revolution, comrade sign.
So it definitely looked like an Antifa group, I can't say that with any certainty, but it was orchestrated,
it was colluded.
They stand up and they say no to hate, no to KKK, this whole chant, right in the middle, and they interrupt something that basically 1,000 people had showed up to listen to, and they interrupt, and this happened on 5 different occasions. So not only Charlie quite rightly says, "Did you not hear what I just said?" And a lot of people laugh.
And if you actually sat down with one of these people and you nail it down and you say, "Hey, what do I actually have to do to prove I'm not a racist?" They will say, "Oh, become a leftist." That's basically.
Yeah, they don't want you. No. They don't want you to not be racist.
They want you to be a
leftist. They want to smear and tarnish you to the point where you are not allowed in polite society or mainstream society, right? They want to diminish your voice. That's the whole point.
So, Senator Kamala Harris, shame on you. You're running for the presidency. I don't think you know better, actually. I was going to say you know better. You really don't. But you now have put yourself into some potential legal jeopardy for saying this. And we are going to pursue some of those options because it's about time someone gets held accountable for this. And I want you to understand the significance of this. There's only 100 U.S. senators out there. She's one of them. There's only a couple people running for the Democrat nomination that are considered serious.
Top tier candidate.
And she raised $20 plus million. I mean, she has a serious following. And yet she's signaling out Turning Point USA. So if you want to help us out at Turning Point USA, we are under attack by the left. TPUSA.com. We appreciate the support. Also, if you want to see the upcoming tour dates when I go on campus, I'll be coming up to Grand Canyon University on the 21st, Colorado State University on the 22nd, University of Iowa on the 23rd, University of New Hampshire on the 24th. We have a Western Regional Conference on the 25th. On the 26th, I'll be at Politicon. October.
And which ones are Don Jr. going to be at?
Don Jr. will be at the 21st at Grand Canyon University and the 22nd at Colorado State University. And what makes this show different at the Charlie Kirk Show, what makes our insights usually more accurate and why we predict things that are happening before is because we're on the front lines. Because I'm dealing with these activists. I'm looking into their eyes. I see what drives them. I see what motivates them. This is what makes things different at the Charlie Kirk Show because we're at the front lines of the culture war. And kind of to segue, I have a very interesting prediction about the 2020 race. I saw some things online. I did some thinking, reflecting, and historical analysis. I think a candidate is going to get really hot in the coming months that no one is really talking about, that people have forgot about, and some people might enter into the race. Before I get to that prediction, though, according to a 2003 Bureau of Justice study, 40% of all guns that were used in crimes were obtained illegally or through a street source. Under the 40% were obtained through family or friends. More recently, a 2008 study in Pennsylvania came up with the exact same results. 79% of all perpetrators who committed a crime with a firearm didn't own it legally. Crime, especially violent crime, is tragic. That's a fact. But we can't let fear and misinformation make it worse. That's why the USCCA wants you to take your own self-defense and the defense of your loved ones seriously. I have to say, I totally love the United States Concealed Carry Association. These are terrific people. They love freedom. They love the Constitution. They understand natural rights. I don't put my name behind a lot of organizations, but this is one that I would put my name behind. So you need to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. When you join them, you'll get an instant access to the industry-leading self-defense education, training, and legal protection. So plus, this month, they're giving away 19 free chances to win $1,000. So it's like the Andrew Yang thing. Everyone gets $1,000, kind of the Oprah thing, for a defensive item of your choice when you activate your risk-free membership. Text KIRK, K-I-R-K, that's KIRK, K-I-R-K. This is totally free to 87222, right now to learn more and get your 19 free chances to win. Text KIRK, K-I-R-K, that's KIRK, K-I-R-K to 87222 to claim your entries and learn more. KIRK to 87222.
I have a question for the audience on this USCCA thing. If you had $1,000, leave your comment in the review section. What handgun would you buy? What firearm would you recommend?
Which is a nice segue. If you haven't left a 5-star review, if you haven't left a comment recently on our podcast platform, please do so. We are surging in a very, very unique way, I have to say. And so please do that.
It's a very serious question, though. I mean, I need protection for my family. I'm in the market. I want to get your guys' thoughts on it.
Totally. So I have a prediction. The 2020 race, we always like to kind of end our shows with a kind of 2020 update and how things are going. I have to say that our insight into this race has been ahead of the curve. And so right now, looking at the Democrat presidential nomination polls, things are very interesting. And our predictions, at the Charlie Kirk Show are proven to be correct. So Biden is kind of the slumpy front runner, I have to say. But Warren right now is up 2 points in the latest Des Moines Register poll. And she's up 8 points in the latest Iowa State University poll. You see this 8 points
That's
in Iowa?
Huge.
And
huge.
So here's the way I interpret this race. So Joe Biden is sinking quickly. But Joe Biden's winning nationally. National polls mean nothing, okay? The Democrat primary is a collection of consecutive states, and early states mean more. So Elizabeth Warren is the front runner by 22 points to 19 points in Iowa and 28 points to 24 points in New Hampshire. Wow. So that means the first two contests, Elizabeth Warren is going to consolidate a tremendous amount of support. Bernie Sanders, we wish him good health and we wish him a recovery. He's going to suffer politically because of his recent health predicaments. In fact, Senator Bernie Sanders had a very interesting quote where he said that he thinks Joe Biden should release his medical records. In fact, let's play that clip right now.
So are you going to release all your medical records to put to rest?
Absolutely, yes.
When do you plan to do that?
As soon as we can. I mean, we intended to do that before the heart attack, and we'll certainly do it with all of the information that's available.
What do you think the standard should be for medical records? I mean, should Joe Biden release all his medical records?
Yeah, I think when you're running for president of the United States, the American people have a right to know the condition of your health. Man, I think that is a standard that should be applicable to all candidates.
What do you think the deal is that, because just last week we said that Warren had just pulled ahead, and then it was like 26.6 to 26.4, and now it's back up. Biden's 29.4 to Warren, 23.2.
Forget the national polls.
But what do you think's accounting for that? You think that's just a blip? I mean, that's an average of all the polls.
No, I think Joe Biden still has a consolidation of generally moderate Democrats in big state sample sizes. But I also think that Joe Biden has such huge name ID, and Biden is a safe pick right now. Biden's a placeholder pick.
It feels safe in the midst of the storm.
Of course,
somehow,
but
right?
But Warren is up 3 points in the critical state of Iowa, and she's up 4 points in the critical state of New Hampshire. So as I looked at this data, there's one rule in Iowa. Do you know what that rule is? If there's one thing, like gravity, what's the rule, Mr. Producer? Somebody gets hot late. That is always the case. Yes. Somebody gets hot late. Let me tell you the reason for it, okay? So Iowa is a very strange state. I don't mean that at all in a bad way. I love Iowa. I'm speaking there on the 23rd. You should come and go to tpusa.com to check it out. But Iowa politically is a very strange state where they like to court. They like to listen. They like to make themselves
there
hard to get.
Yeah, there's a few states that are just kind of like they behave on their own. Like Montana is a state that you just can't model off the national.
Iowa has its own personality. So previous to my support to President Trump, I was caucusing for Senator Ted Cruz. I spent almost the entire last month going up to the 2016 caucus in Iowa. I visited over 40 counties in Iowa. I know the state super well. And I know that especially on the Democrat side, they play hard to get. So whether it be John Edwards, or whether it be Bill Clinton, or the most recent examples of two people getting hot in Iowa. Do you want to know the most two recent examples? In 2012, there was this distant in the distance guy that no one took seriously that got hot and almost won Iowa, Rick Santorum.
Ended up going right up
against neck and neck to Mitt Romney in 2012. In 2016, there was a guy that no one was really taking seriously but was building a campaign, won Iowa at the last minute. Senator Ted Cruz in 2016 ended up being the top contender and the second most amount of delegates.
Didn't Huckabee
And Huckabee, same exact thing in 2008. So Iowa's an interesting state. If I had to say, hey, this person has the highest likelihood of getting hot in Iowa, and no one is talking about this guy, but he's had a good amount of press appeal and hasn't had a big blow up, I would have to say that guy's Pete Buttigieg. He has a Midwestern appeal. He has raised a tremendous amount of money. He has a great Iowa operation, and I think he's going to have his Iowa moment. So, Mr. Producer, what do you think about my Buttigieg analysis?
Well, I think you're making an interesting point. I can't say that I'm fully buy into that just because I find the man insufferable. But, you know, that being, because he's just another one of these pandering, says everything right, it's all canned and clean and glossy. And I think we live in an age where, you know, Trump's appeal and the reason people hate him is because he says what he actually thinks.
I think there's some Iowa crossover.
Sure.
I think there's some Midwest appeal
there. He's got that. But I would say, you know, he's done one thing right. He's remained out of the fray, and I think it's similarly what led to Warren's surge, right? She just kind of stayed out of the mess enough. People weren't really talking about her, and she just kind of was going about her business and gaining momentum without making any big mistakes. I mean, really, the big issue that Buttigieg has had was his hometown of South Bend, Indiana. You know, the police department doesn't like him. You know, he's basically failed his own police department. He had a big racial kerfuffle, I guess you could say, earlier in the summer. Mm-hmm. So he has some material against him that can be used against him. Whether or not his opponents will use that successfully is yet to be determined.
And so this race is moving in real time. Bloomberg looks like he might be getting into the race,
which is something we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like this field was complete.
And this is something that we will make inaccurate predictions of the Charlie Kirk Show, but we typically we're usually on the right side of history when we make these predictions, just because of what we're reading and what we're looking at.
You know who's going to be shaking in their boots to see Bloomberg if he actually does enter the fold is going to be Biden, because he sort of operates in that center left, if you will, area. And you've even said nice things about him on the show, meaning that New York City was actually being run well when he was mayor. I mean, that is something to contend with, right?
No doubt. That's exactly right. And so I think that as this race continues, keep your eye on Pete Buttigieg. The way Iowa works is late in the race, the last 20 days, Iowans look around. They say, okay, I've been hearing about Warren for 6 months. I've been hearing about Biden for 60 years. What do I have to – what else you got? And Buttigieg has been spending a lot of money in Iowa. In fact, Buttigieg has been raising money terrifically. I mean, he's been raising a lot of money, and he's been spending a lot of time. I think he's going to go to all 99 counties. So there is his story, and here's the story right here. It says, flush with cash, Pete Buttigieg bets his campaign on a breakthrough in Iowa. New York Times here. And he talks about the amount of money that they're spending. The New York Times is a paywall. Capitalists. Don't let me read their article. But Times is a bunch of communitarians that also have paywalls behind their articles. If the New York Times believed their own socialist garbage, why don't they give away their articles for free?
Well, we're going to be taking that up with a couple of reporters we know.
I'm totally kidding. There is a point there, though.
But no, I mean, Buttigieg has been a very active – I mean, he's young. Let's be honest. Buttigieg is 37, 38 years old. He's got a lot of energy. He's been out on the campaign trail a lot. He's been raising money a lot. He's been in California a lot, getting the Hollywood dollars. The one area of weakness, though, again, is Buttigieg does not appeal – to minority votes like Biden does, right? So Biden is really strong in early primary states like South Carolina, which has a massive African-American voter bloc that is the make or break for if you're on the Democratic side of the ticket. So can Buttigieg compete in states like South Carolina, some of these strongholds that Biden, because of his track record, because of his ties to the Clintons, let's face it, he's of that era, of that ilk. He has a massive leg up. And somebody like Warren also is failing to really appeal to that demographic as well. So it'll be interesting to see how these two play out.
The laws that I know to be true, and I just want to reinforce this, is that there are late breakers in Iowa.
January is going to look a lot different than October looks.
Yeah. Late breakers and people that have good fundamentals. Warren will be a top-tier candidate. She has a great campaign, raising much money. She understands the ethos of the Democrat Party. Biden, because of his 60-plus year name ID and because of how long he's been around, might not be 60 years, but it might be 40 years of name ID, whatever.
Might be 173 years.
Whatever. You understand what I'm saying. But this race is not yet calcified. It's not yet complete.
So Charlie, tonight at the Democratic debate, are you predicting
Here's my two big predictions.
A breakout?
My two big predictions is that health will be mentioned.
Healthcare?
No. Candidate's health.
Interesting. Yes. Yes, Bernie. We already teased this with Bernie.
And my second prediction is that Warren will be treated and act like a front runner, because she is. And I think that you're going to start to see some acts of desperation. What I can't wait to hear and see and feel in this debate is you have a billionaire standing on stage, while other ones saying that billionaires shouldn't exist. You got Tom Steyer literally standing on stage. I think Tom Steyer is going to be the most interesting takeaway from this debate. The guy is a clown. The guy is foolish. The guy's unbelievably rich, and he's one of the biggest hypocrites I've ever come in contact with in the history. I've never come in contact with, but I've ever seen in politics. His whole message is about destroying fossil fuels, while his fund was primarily made successful thanks to fossil fuels. He flies around his private jet saying the world's going to end in 12 years. He refuses to sell any of his coastal properties, even though he says that oceans are going to take over, you know, the Californian eastern coast. And yet he spent an unbelievable amount of money. And anyone in the Democrat base knows exactly what this is. This is a narcissistic, virtue signaling leftist that wants attention and wants power. And it's really not working. I mean, he's registered at 2.3% in the polls in Iowa. And he barely qualified. I was in Iowa recently. He is spending an extraordinary amount of money. You cannot turn on TV without seeing a Tom Steyer ad.
The question with guys like this is, are they so narcissistic that they actually think they have a shot at winning, or are they just trying?
Yes, they do.
Yes. Charlie's nodding his head quickly at that question. Or do they just want to up their name ID? I mean, Tom Steyer is a guy that I wasn't really that aware of before. Recently.
But Mr. Producer, remember, he was the guy that spent the money in the New York Times and the Times Square ads for the impeached Trump ads.
Yeah, I remember this, but I mean, exactly. But again, that seemed like a stunt, a PR stunt to raise his name ID. Because once you have all the money in the world and you can't spend it any faster than you already are, you don't know what else you want to do with it, what do you want? You want name ID, you want fame, you want influence, right? These are the things that money can't buy unless you've got a presidential campaign that rolls around, and then you do it that way.
No, that's exactly right. And so I think Tom Steyer is going to be a big storyline of it, and we will be breaking that down. So forecasting a little bit, you got to make sure you guys subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you get the alerts, because we have a huge guest this week. And I'm not going to tell you who that guest is, but it's a really big guest, and he's one of our favorites here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We can't wait to kind of break down some of his upcoming thoughts and what he's been saying. And so please go press subscribe right now, hit 5 stars, leave a review, and please go to tpusa.com, leave a contribution if you can, sign up for our email list, get engaged, get involved. If you're a student, start a Turning Point USA chapter, go to a Turning Point USA event. It's tpusa.com. So, Mr. Producer, there is one more story you
there
want to...
There is one more story I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention, and that is that Hunter Biden says he will resign from Chinese company board and won't take foreign work if his father's president. Now, I think this is fascinating because it's essentially an admission of guilt, of wrongdoing, right? That it is a problem. So why would you be stepping down from something if there's no problem, right? So the lawyer's statement, underscores, this is from the Washington Post, how Biden's foreign work has become a major issue in the presidential campaign, raising questions about whether Joe Biden failed to understand the potential for a conflict of interest with his son's work and setting in motion a chain of events that have led to an impeachment inquiry about President Trump. The point is Hunter Biden is backtracking. He's going, oddly enough, I think this is one of the weirdest storylines about the debate. He's going to be giving this interview on ABC Good Morning America.
Hunter will?
Yes.
No way.
Yes, the same day as the debate. So at the hearing of this
podcast,
where's
Hunter? We found Hunter.
We might have just put our finger on the...
We just found Hunter. So here's what Hunter's going to say in his interview. I've never done anything improper, and my father and I always had a Chinese wall between what he was doing and what I was doing. And wait a second. And all of a sudden, I was going to say, Chinese wall, huh? Yeah. You mean like the Chinese wall where you took $1.5 billion in your investment fund where you were uniquely unqualified for?
I predict he's going to get emotional.
Here's the thing. I want you to watch this Hunter Biden interview and just think to yourself, what kind of questions would they be asking if this was Donald Trump Jr.?
That's a great point.
What kind of questions would they be asking if this was Ivanka Trump and if this was Eric Trump? Here's the questions they're going to ask. A lot of people are saying, Hunter, that these dealings were inappropriate. Now, of course, what happens when a reporter says that, a reporter is essentially saying, I don't believe that, but a lot of people are saying, and I'm forced to answer this question. Or if it was Don Jr., it was so inappropriate of you to take that meeting in Trump Tower. Just the death of objectivity altogether.
Yeah, well, and I predict he's going to get a little emotional and he's going to say something like this. You know, the hardest part about this is that... I almost sounded like Bill Clinton there, but I didn't mean to. The hardest part about this is that it's impacted my father, and he's such a good man, and he would be such a good president. And I, you know, that's the hard. Yeah, exactly.
So, is his father still running for president? he's running the strangest campaign I've ever seen.
You know, and for
his staff is horrible.
I was just about to say they can't
really
raise
bad.
Money. They're terrible on messaging. Who is approving that he goes on national news? You know, the day of the Democratic debate, which, by the way, there's going to be 12 people on the debate stage, which is just way too many. Nobody can get any real questions answered or asked in that time. I mean, it's just insane.
I for one, am at a loss for words of the political strategy of putting your son on Good Morning America the very night all of your political rivals will be on the very same stage. It's a puzzling political strategy, and Joe Biden has never won a big election himself, so I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
What's your expression? This is the left.
This is the left. Thank you guys so much for listening to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. Go to tpusa.com if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA. For you adults out there and you have a little extra disposable income, give us a donation. It's tax deductible. For you students out there, if you are not involved with Turning Point USA, you are missing out on your role in America's most consequential culture war in our history. Start a chapter, get engaged, get involved. Come to our Student Action Summit. So that's tpusa.com/SAS. You might have heard we have announced Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Eric Bowling, Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, the great one.
Dan Crenshaw, amongst many others. That's tpusa.com/SAS. If you are an adult, please chip in some money if you can. If you're a student, get engaged or get involved. And right now, find one human being, one person, to subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show. Press subscribe, leave a review, and get a friend to do the same. This is your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Till next time, signing off, Charlie Kirk for The Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest podcasts.